You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A new film called Land Ho may be the first American road comedy to be set in Iceland. Earl Lynn Nelson plays Mitch, an outspoken former surgeon who invites his more circumspect ex-brother-in-law, Colin, played by Paul Einhorn, to fly with him to Reykjavik. They are an odd couple, but together they try to confront big issues like regret, aging, and life after 60. Land Ho, which is directed by Aaron Katz and Martha Stevens, opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Angelica, and I'm pleased to welcome Aaron Katz and his two stars, Earl Lynn Nelson and Paul Einhorn, to our show today. Hello.
Thank you.
Aaron, did you begin with the relationship between these two older men or with the idea of having a mismatched pair flying off to Iceland?
Actually, the original idea was to bring Earl Lynn to Iceland, and we weren't sure what kind of partner in this adventure he should have. And we thought about a cousin, and we thought about a nephew. And eventually, we saw a film called This is Martin Bonner that Paul was in that was at Sundance a couple years ago that a friend of ours named Chad Hartigan made. And we just knew that he was the perfect balance to Earl Lynn.
Because there has to be a certain amount of tension while there's still camaraderie.
Exactly, yeah. These are two guys who at times can't stand each other, and they also need each other.
Earl Lynn, your character Mitch is a doctor, but... or a retired doctor, but he says things that I wouldn't want my doctor to say even in private. Much of what he says is openly sexist, and he also smokes marijuana. Have you met anybody like him?
That's me.
That's you.
Yes, sir.
But you're not an former doctor, are you?
I'm a surgeon.
You are.
And not former either.
I'm not former. I do surgery 3 days a week.
So you say these things to your friends?
Yes, I do. My family.
And what kind of reaction do you get? The same sorts of reaction?
It's all funny and good humor.
In the film, Mitch lies about his retirement.
Yes.
You going to explain why?
Why does he lie?
Yeah.
He just because he wants to hold on to what he has, hold on to his life. He doesn't, he lies about, he either takes retirement or he gets fired, you know.
Paul, does Colin care that Mitch lied?
I know. He actually kind of has an idea that he's lying to him, I think, already. And they're actually, in the actual original footage, there is a scene where I overhear a conversation which didn't make the cut. And I totally understand why. But, yeah, I think Colin's fairly well aware that there's a reasoning behind this.
Well, he recognizes that Mitch is a larger-than-life character, and he will take the lead more often than not. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be generally happy to just go along.
Yeah. I've been thinking about the part a lot since probably over the last couple of months about what made Colin the character he was. And I think Colin works in the shadows of his ex-brother-in-law. And I think that's what formed the character.
He remains silent when Mitch says or does something inappropriate. The reaction shots catch you looking amused at times, but also impatient, like when Mitch is talking to his cousin about what she's wearing.
I know, yeah. That was very much played. I think Aaron and Martha wanted that. I think Colin's sensibilities are more modern than Mitch's, obviously. Because both being of that sensibility that Mitch has would be obnoxious.
Erlen, was any of the dialogue improvised, since you say this character is very much like you?
Yes, sir. We had a script, and Martha and Aaron, gave us some leeway to do kind of what we wanted to, as long as we got their point across of each scene. And I think that's what made the movie move so smoothly, because it was Paul and me having conversations, and went along with the scene.
You're not a professional actor, are you?
No, sir. I'm a surgeon.
But one would not know that, partly because you are playing a version of yourself?
Well, I've been knowing Martha since she was born. See, Martha is, you wrote and... co-directed, co-wrote with Aaron, and her mother's my first cousin, So she's known me her whole life. So she knows what kind of character I am, and she wanted me to take a trip to Iceland.
So what a convenient way to arrange for that, make a movie about it. Mm-hmm. Aaron, both you and Martha Stevens attended University of North Carolina School of Arts. Is that where you met?
It is where we met, yeah. And we've kept in touch over the years, and I saw her two films, both of which have Earl Lynn in them, and she saw my films cross paths at film festivals, and it just seemed like this would be a project. Neither of us had made a comedy before, a straight comedy, and this seemed like one that we should do together.
I've always wondered about when people co-direct how you wind up assigning what responsibility to whom.
We really didn't decide what responsibility to assign in advance. We shot, there's a part of the film that takes place in Kentucky, and we shot that about 3 months before the rest of the film. And part of the reason we shot that was to see what it would be like working with each other as co-directors, having only directed movies by ourselves before.
Janet, one of the other characters in the film is played by Elizabeth McKee, who's your wife.
Yes.
Were you comfortable directing your wife?
Actually, it was something that I was a little bit scared of. I'd never worked with someone who I was in a relationship with before. And because the relationship is the most important thing, I was a little bit worried there could be a conflict between what was best for the movie and what was best for us. But actually, it turned out to be a great decision, and it turned out to be a lot of fun, and it was great that she could be involved and there, not just as an observer, but actually involved in the process, and I would definitely do it again.
And also go to Reykjavik.
Yeah. And it was great that she could experience it along with me, and instead of, with the last film, for example, she could observe and support, but not actually be a part of it.
Also, I guess if there was anything you wanted to tell her but you thought might be a problem, you just said, Martha, could you tell her this?
Yeah, actually, it didn't really come up.
Paul, Mitch and Colin are ex-in-laws. What's their relationship been since the breakups of the marriages?
Well, Mitch keeps telling me I wasn't allowed to see him once he divorced the other sister. So this is really the first time they've been together for, I think in the original script it was about 17 years.
And on the surface they don't seem to have much in common.
No, I think that's very true. Apart from maybe a shared experience or life experience and similar ages, I think that often bonds people. When I talk to people my age, you're immediately on a level of understanding that you don't get with someone who might be 20 or 30 or 40. And you talk the same language. It's really quite amazing. And I think that's probably the bond.
Because both of them are have lost certain strengths that they had when they were younger, with certain kinds of interests.
Yeah, and lost things and people and relationships and have been disappointed in things. Yeah.
Aaron, aren't movies supposed to appeal to boys in their late teens and early 20s? This is a film about older gentlemen who sometimes act like boys in their teens.
Yeah, well, I guess we hope it will appeal to everyone. Usually, if Earl Lynn is asked this question, he'll say that it's a film about themes that are universal. At any age, you can feel lost and you can feel like your place in the world isn't so certain as you thought it was. So I think that these guys have arrived at a place in life that that's because of retirement, but there's a lot of reasons that can lead to that.
Now, the premise of the film is that Mitch tells Colin he's bought two tickets to go to fly to Reykjavik. Wouldn't Mitch have wanted to fly to Paris or Rome instead? Why Reykjavik?
Why did I want to go to Reykjavik? Because of the lobster, the vodka, and the long-legged women.
I understand there's also a lot of blubber that people eat there, and things that aren't necessarily to the taste of Americans.
Oh, they have good beef, they have good lamb, they have great lobster, and they have a whale that's not an endangered species that they eat there that's delicious as well.
So did you eat any whale?
No, I did the typical thing and lectured them about eating whale. I wish,
It's an endangered species. I can't imagine.
No,
it's
not
a species,
this one.
Yeah, it's a large mammal, isn't it?
What challenges did shooting in Iceland bring?
Oh, we don't have enough time.
Did you have to adjust? Is it you were there during the summer, so it's not as cold as it could be.
Well, we were in there in October, which is kind of fall, and it was an experience because I arrived on a Sunday, we started shooting on a Saturday, and we were exposed to some incredible inclement weather that absolutely threw me.
There is a scene in the movie where Mitch and Colin are waiting for a geyser to become active. What was that day's shoot like?
Well, you're asking me?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was probably one of the most fun scenes, but we had to deal with the tourists that were around there and getting in the way, and they had a track, I don't know what you call that track. What is that?
A dolly.
Dolly yeah. That they had with the camera to move in and out, and we spent a little time there, and we definitely were soaked to the bone when we were doing that, but...
In order to get them close enough, they had to be in the path of the geyser's spray.
Now, Paul, are you a professional actor?
Yeah.
So you're the only professional actor in this film?
Pretty much, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, Alice Olivia Clarke is also an actor. She's Canadian and lives in Iceland. She was my love interest in the film.
Yeah. And you're a. An Australian who lives in the United States, Seattle?
Yeah, I'm an Australian. I met my wife in Sydney eons ago and moved to Seattle after a few years. And I've been working at this for, pretty much my whole life. I think I started when I was 17.
Would you say that this film is an optimistic look at aging?
I think so. I think definitely. It is. I think it's full of optimism.
And do you think that your characters, Erlin, do you think that they grow up or change throughout the film? Or is he always going to be...
I think that they, if you will, adhered, and they both realized where they were in their lives and that they wanted to go on with positive attitudes under all the duress that they had, you know... Aaron alluded to this earlier. You're talking about the older people type film, and you know, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s can lose a loved one, can get divorced, and can lose a job, and they've got those things that can happen in any time in life. So I feel like that because of the humor in the movie and because of those situations, that younger people are going to like our movie.
The film we're talking about is Land Ho. Directed by Aaron Katz, who has been our guest, along with Martha Stevens, and starring Erlin Nelson and Paul Einhorn. It opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Angelica, and I thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.